want you to almost say that with me this morning. God's power. Wow. And I don't know, I'm sure you all have sensed God's power in an amazing way at one point in time in your life. I pray that you have. And as we go through the scripture verse that I'm going to go through this morning, you'll really see a progression of how God and his power moved through the hearts and the lives of the people. But the interesting part is that we have to see is that those people were open to God and were willing to take the step and draw closer to God. And so as we go through that, you'll see that. So where I'm going to start, first of all, where I want to start off is kind of reminding some of you, and a lot of you won't remember this and you weren't here, and that's kind of a cool thing because of where God's brought us. I mean, we look around right now and the room is pretty full, and that's really exciting. Daryl and I moved back, my family and I, we all moved back from Sault Ste. Marie about almost 5 years ago now, eh? 4 years ago. When we first moved back, Bracebridge didn't have a pastor yet, and we weren't sure where we were going to attend for sure, so we were in Huntsville at the time. And I got a call from Dave McGill, and he asked me to come and speak here. At the time, you guys didn't have anybody here speaking. And I remember walking in to the church, and there was such few people. My heart was broken to see what happened to this place. And the message the Lord laid on my heart, and for those of you who were here, maybe you remember, maybe you don't, was basically that God can do what looks like impossible, he can make possible. And I spoke about bumblebees and how scientifically bumblebees should not be able to fly because of the span of their wings and the size of their body. They should not be able to technically be able to fly. But they do. And that's because God created them in such a way that they would, because he wanted them to fly. So therefore, they fly. So my message at that time to this church was, you guys are bumblebees and you will fly because God wants you to fly. And even though at the time what seemed impossible, because there was hurting hearts and I mean, all churches go through stuff, and we will never have a perfect church until we get to heaven. But at that time, it just was a really hurting place. And I just really wanted to encourage the people to say, you know, God has a plan, and he will make it happen. And as I watch now, as this church, and now Pastor Steve, we've been blessed to have Pastor Steve come, and watch this church grow, and see the new people that are here, and old ones that have come back, and the growth, and just how people are so willing to join together, unify together, and help each other out and join together. We are flying like bumblebees, and it's exciting. And so my scripture that I want to talk about today is basically about that. So we're going to start. My text is actually Acts 2, 42 to 47. So you can go there, but we're going to just start off at Acts 2, 1 to 16. Just to give you kind of set up a little bit of background is what I'm going to do here. So Acts 2, starting at verse 1, this is just the background information. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came and rested on each other. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native tongue?
And then it proceeds on to talk all the languages that we're saying. And it says, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, were here declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. We're going to jump down to 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11. He raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, all of us who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what is spoken by the prophet Joel. And then Peter continues on from there, and he preaches a message of a lifetime. And the cool thing here to look at is, this is Peter. This is Peter who just denied Jesus 3 times, who was embarrassed to admit that he actually was hanging out with Jesus. And he has now, they were in a spot, about 120 or so people were in the upper room, and they were praying and spending time with the Lord, and then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came down and just infilled this group of people. And out of that result was Peter preaching this message to all these people who were standing outside in awe, because they could hear these Galileans speaking in a language that was their own. And these men wouldn't normally be able to speak those languages, or these people wouldn't normally be able to speak these languages. But it was the infilling of the Holy Spirit that came upon them, giving them the gift of tongues, but also the infilling of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, I'm going to send you a helper. And this is when he was sending the helper. The Holy Spirit came down upon these people. So Peter is preaching this message, infilled with the Holy Spirit. And the result of his message that day, 3,000 people came to know the Lord. Now I get excited about that, because I look at Peter and I think, you know, here's a guy who denied Jesus. He was, you know, we all know his personality. He could jump a little bit. He's the one who cut off the ear of the soldier. You know, he's kind of like a little rangy kind of a guy. And here he gets up and he preaches a message where 3,000 people come to know the Lord. And that is by the Holy Spirit infilling him. And so as we progress now, we're going to go to verse 42. And this is where I kind of want to dig in a little deeper. As we watch these people now, this 3,000, we're starting off with basically now the church, you know, the Christian church, if you so want to say, believers in Jesus Christ. This is where the church is beginning. And as we watch this and see what happens in their life as they are filled with the Holy Spirit and they're closing with God and pushing in closer to God and seeing what God does through their life. So I'm going to read the whole verse and then we'll take it apart. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wondrous and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone that had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now here we have people who were Jews, Jewish believers, and now they are believing in Christ. They are what I like to say, I know we don't use the word radical anymore, it's kind of like an 80s term, but basically they were like radically saved, speaking in tongues, excited for Jesus, Christians, okay? So we have this group of people, and this is just kind of like the beginning of the church starting out. So they didn't actually have churches yet, like we have. So they would meet in people's homes, they would still go to the temples to hear the word, but they were just so excited to be together, this new belief and this new knowledge of who Jesus is. So we're going to first look at verse 42 to 43. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And here I like the word where it says they were devoted, which means they were completely submitted to listening to God's word. They were diligent in their times with God. They wanted to learn more about him. They wanted to sit at the apostles' feet and learn more about Jesus. They were diligent in their fellowship times. They came together. They had time together. They fellowshiped together. They broke bread together. It doesn't necessarily mean that they just had communion together, but they broke bread. They would come and share a meal together. They were so excited just to be together. So they had no organized church, and they just met together in homes and got together. But the thing is that through this, they saw awe. They were in awe because of many miraculous signs and wonders began to happen. They prayed together. They worshiped together, celebrated together. And I just, when I was doing this, I was thinking about Our Lady's Bible study and how many times over the course of whatever we've been doing, 2 years now, praying together every Monday morning and seeing the results of those prayers and how we could celebrate together when we bring forth prayer requests and we get to see then, whatever amount of time later on, we get to see the answers to those prayers. And as that group, we celebrate together and we get excited because we see the answers to those prayers that we've been celebrating together. I mean, the same as in the church. We pray, different things that we pray together for. And just to be able to see the results of those prayers. So there they were able to celebrate together in those things, encouraging one another, loving on one another. And they saw awesome miraculous signs and wonders. And my illustration that I used when I first wrote this, and I think I've shared this story with you before, was about a situation that I had when I went to Nicaragua. So I'm going to share that in a second again, but I first wanted to, I just put a note here, just miraculous signs and wonders, and I just was thinking of with Pam and Sal and how, we saw awesome miraculous signs and wonders, with Sal, and he's doing awesome now in his health, but how the church came together and we prayed together and we encouraged and we loved and we fellowshiped and focused on them, and the result of that was them giving their testimony. And for Olivia and Ed and for Vanessa when she was in Africa, prayed together, loved on her, encouraged, and the results that came from that. Those are all miraculous signs and wonders. And even, this morning with Henrietta giving praise report as far as everybody pulling together for Uncle Hank, It's the body. We come together. We pray together. We encourage one another. We love on one another. And there's a need, so we're going to help you out, and we're going to take care of that. And this is what this is all about. This is what church body is all about, is us taking care of one another. And we see the miraculous signs and wonders. And my story from Nicaragua, I think I've shared it with you guys before, but was able to take a team of youth to Nicaragua on a missions field. And again, we took time in prayer together and devoting ourselves to the Word and listening to the Word and learning and spending time together, fellowshipping, praying, encouraging. And so we went ready and excited and full of the Holy Spirit and full and ready for God to use us however he so choose. And Josh's mom was one of our team leaders, and we were giving out gifts to kids, and we were at one particular spot. We had our hockey bags full of stuff. We gave out all of these. It was around Christmas time. We gave out all these gifts to these kids, and somehow one little boy got missed, and I have no idea how that happened. But we missed one little guy. And Josh's mom was trying very, because there's a language barrier, she was really trying to explain to him, I'm sorry, we have nothing left, our bags were empty. And she's trying to communicate this to him, and he just kept putting his hand out, looking for a gift. And she says, I'm sorry. So she took the hockey bag, and she thought if she showed him, she turned it inside out to show him, I'm sorry, I have nothing, the bag is empty. And he kept putting his hand out to her for a gift. And so as she's kind of trying to figure out what to do, she felt the Holy Spirit saying to her, put your hand in that bag one more time. And it's crazy, you can imagine in that not even 30-second moment, 2-second moment, you ever have an argument with God that you think lasts 10 minutes, but it's like, she's going, God, like, you're crazy. I just turned the bag inside out. Why would you tell me to put my hand back in that bag?
And anyway, she was obedient and she did it, and she ended up pulling out a baseball cap. Now, I mean, baseball caps, you guys know, if anybody's been on a missions trip, that's like gold to those people. They love baseball caps. And the little boy was ecstatic, but Josh's mom, she was over the top, blown away. Those are signs and miracles of God doing something amazing. But that is a result of prior to devoting yourself to God, listening to His Word, praying together, coming together as a congregation and encouraging one another. That is the result of that. So we have Jesus as our main focus in life. That's what needs to be. He needs to be the main focus in our lives. We need to seriously devote ourselves to Him, to His teaching. We need to pray, and we will see Him move more powerfully through our lives. I mean, we've already been seeing Him move, you know, in situations like the ones that I told you about with Olivia and with Sal and Vanessa, and now with Hank. You know, we're seeing God moving through us and performing miracles, and we're seeing awesome results in that. And I just think, what more does God have for us? What more can we accomplish as we continue to dig in deeper, as we continue to fly like bumblebees the way we shouldn't technically be able to, but we do? As we begin to fill ourselves with God, we will begin to see people through Jesus' eyes. And that's so important, to be able to get to that place where we have the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us, just as these people did. And He will lead us and guide us, and we will start to see people the way Jesus sees them. You know, not the way we would see them. Because sometimes when we look at people with our own eyes, we might start to get an opinion or an attitude of what they're like and what, you know, what they deserve as far as our attention. But we need to look at them through Jesus' eyes. So we're going to continue with verse 44 to 46. And it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And here we see the amazing power in a unified body. They were together. They had everything in common, it said. Here's a place where people would come, where there was nobody who was looking down at anybody. It was a comfortable setting where you could come in and you knew that you would feel loved. You knew that no matter what you looked like, no matter how your hair was, no matter what clothes, no matter what job, no matter what status you were, anything, that you were completely accepted in this place. And as I went through this, it just reminded me of in Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel, where it said all the people were unified together creating this tower. Now, this tower wasn't for God's glory. And God came, and He ended up bringing confusion amongst the people. But what He said in the end was, when people are united, nothing is impossible for them. And I look at, you know, when we take a look at the different things that God has done through this church body, you know, if you would have been here 4 or 5 years ago, you would have said, it's impossible. That is impossible. And God said, with a unified body, nothing is impossible. And look at what He is achieving through this body because of that unity, because of that closeness that we are forming. They came together and they broke bread together. They prayed together. They were so filled with the Holy Spirit that they were aware of each other's needs, and they were willing to do whatever it took to meet those needs. If somebody was hungry, they'd bring them food. Whatever their need was, they were willing to help out. Even to the point of selling their possessions. And I just get excited when I hear about that, because I think, you know, that's some pretty serious moving of the Holy Spirit. You know, like if God said, you know, sell your cow so you can go help somebody out. You know, and they did it. Without question, they did it. So the challenge to us is, would we be willing if God said to us, you know, sell your car and give the money to whatever? You know, would we be willing? I mean, that's pretty drastic, and you certainly would want to make sure that it was Christ telling you that. But, you know, are we willing to go to the extreme?
what in the norm to this world would be ridiculous, are we willing to do that, to help each other out, to show, to bind this body together and take care of each other? Again, it was a safe place. They wanted to help each other out. They wanted to take care of each other's needs. They were absolutely 100% led by the Holy Spirit. Remember in the upper room where the Holy Spirit came down on them, and that was contagious. That then went down when Peter preached. They were then, those people were then infilled with the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit was leading these people now to take care of each other, to watch over each other's needs. They were all being led by the Holy Spirit. When is the last time that you've been led by the Holy Spirit to do something? Something completely that might have just seemed crazy to you. You know, we've all, you know, maybe at a time you've been encouraged, thought, oh, I should call that person up and let them know I'm thinking about them, or pray for them, or send them a card. I mean, I always think of Yvonne when she made those meals for her neighbor for like over a year. Yvonne, I've used that, I'm telling you, so many times when I've spoken, because I just think the Holy Spirit told her, go cook meals for your neighbor for as long as I tell you. And it ended up being a year. You know, like, would we be willing to do something like that? That's pretty radical. And to the world, that's stupid. But to Christ, God says, no, that is something I call you to do. Are we willing? Are we listening to that voice of the Holy Spirit that's leading us and guiding us? Again, one of the most profound moments, and again, I think I've shared this with you, was when my grandmother passed away, and I was having a rough moment at home, and I was home alone, and just all of a sudden prayed for God to make my phone ring, because I needed to talk to somebody. I didn't want to call somebody up and be like, oh, I'm having a pity party moment, can you talk to me? And so I said, God, I need somebody, I need you to encourage somebody, just speak to somebody to call me right now. And I mean, it ended up being, this was quite some time ago, it was Pastor Dale, who just was sitting in his office here. And he called me up and he said, Wendy, I was just in my office and I just felt I was supposed to call you. Are you okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, those are awesome moments. And I just think, has that ever happened to you? Have you ever had somebody do that for you? And how did it feel? It's pretty cool when, you know, if you've ever had somebody come up to you and say, you know, I've really been praying for you this week. Is everything okay? I feel so special when that's happened to me, because I think God cares enough about me, out of how many people in this world, He cares enough about me to lay my name on somebody's mind, and they prayed for me, and they came to me and told me. That to me makes me feel like $1 million when that happens. And so on the opposite side of that, are you listening to the Holy Spirit? And are you being obedient when the Holy Spirit tells you to do something? You know, maybe the Holy Spirit is telling you to call somebody up and go for a coffee. And you might think, big deal, Tim Hortons coffee cost me $1.50. You know what? To that person, it might mean like you've given them $1 million. So are we willing to do that? And the result of all of this, the result of these people pressing in towards the Lord, the result of these people sitting at the apostles' feet and listening to the teaching, the result of them joining together in unity, the result for them selling their possessions and taking care of each other's needs and listening to the Holy Spirit and being willing to do all of that is verse 47. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. Do you get that? God added to their number daily. Every single day, there was new converts coming. Now, why was this happening? Because those Christians were contagious. They were oozing God. They were completely in focus with God. They were completely in tune with Him. They were living, breathing, eating, sleeping, whatever the will of God was. Did they have bad days? Sure, we all do. But their main focus was, okay, God, I'm going to get back on track with you. What is it that you have for me to do? What is it that you are calling me to do? People out in our community are watching us. We all know that. We've been told that 1 million times. But you know, sometimes we don't always listen.
and we let ourselves and our own will and that take over. But they are watching us, just as the people were watching, the non-believers were watching these believers in this day. And they liked what they saw. And they said, man, I want that. And they came to know the Lord. Every single day, somebody came to know the Lord. People are watching us today. They're watching us driving in our car. They're watching us in the lineup at a store. They're watching us on Facebook. I mean, my heart breaks sometimes when I see some horrific statuses from Christian people on Facebook. I think, everybody is watching this. Why? You know, why can't we put something positive, something honoring to the Lord? You know? They are watching everything we are doing. What kind of things do they see when they look at us? What kind of things do we allow our eyes to see? Where do, you know, things that were maybe movies that we're watching or music we're listening to? I don't know. I mean, there's all kinds of things. People are watching us. What is our representation? What is coming across to non-believers? And is it something that they, are we living a life in such a way that those people will look at us and they will say, I want to have what you have? The coolest thing that I remember happening, my sister-in-law, this was before she was my sister-in-law, she was just dating my brother. And she was working at a store in Graham. Does anybody remember Economy Fair? Like 12 million years ago? So she used to work at Economy Fair. And my brother-in-law, who at the time was married to Daryl's sister, they didn't know each other. So because we hadn't all kind of gotten married or gotten together or anything yet, so he didn't know her. Anyways, we were at something at Daryl's parents' place, and my brother-in-law was there, and he started to say, I was in Economy Fair today, and the girl who is cashier there, I swear she's Christian. And he began to describe what she looked like. So we kind of conversed a little bit. And I realized that he was talking about my sister-in-law. I said, that's my soon-to-be my sister-in-law, Irene. And he said, I'm sure she's a Christian. I said, she is. And I just thought, you know, that for her is the most powerful testimony for her life. That she can be working in a store at a cash register, simply just running somebody through, but there was something about her, which is Jesus Christ, obviously, that she was so full of the Lord that he recognized it. He recognized that spirit. And I think, man, I want that to be me. I want when people see me, I don't have to say a word. They just sense God all over me. That's why I pray that, you know, for my hair salon, you know, that women or men, whoever come in, that they will just sense Jesus Christ in that room. Maybe they won't recognize it as being the Lord, but that they will just sense something is different. And that's what was happening here. People sensed something was different, and they came to know the Lord on a regular basis. So what does your life look like? Is it something that is compelling to people? Is it something that you have Jesus all over you and people are just like, oh yeah, I want that? As a body, are we compelling to other people? Do people on the street look at our church and think, wow, you know, that place is doing some really cool stuff and I want to be a part of that? Or is it the opposite? Is it repelling? Where people look at us and they think, if that's what Christians are like, I don't want to have anything to do with that. If that's what they profess, they say this, but they act this way, I'll have nothing to do with that. That church over there, oh, wouldn't go there. God wants us to be compelling so that that they want to come to know Jesus because of the way we live. And our actions and the things that happen through this church and through our lives. And God will add to our number daily. It's interesting, we had some prayer time on Monday with Ladies Bible Study, and Christine was praying, and she made one profound statement, and I just thought, wow. And that was, God, she prayed, don't let us just be church shufflers, but let us be seeing new believers come into the churches. And that's what it's all about, people. It's not about seeing our church grow because now this church over here only has 10 people because now we have 25 of theirs. Or, you know, whatever. Because we see that, and that happens. And I get that sometimes you switch churches for valid reasons. I understand that. But we want to see this church grow by new people coming in, by God adding to our numbers daily. And that will happen as we continue to do the binding together and, you know, growing together with, you know, how we took care of Sal and Pam and Vanessa and Olivia and Hank. As we continue to go in that flow, you know, we can't say, oh, we've arrived, now we've done it all, so we're awesome and all that and more. But we need to continue now and continue doing that so that the community sees. It's awesome that we're doing this as a body because that's binding us together and joining us in unity. And we need to continue that and then make it also an outpouring into the community so that they see us and they want to be part of us. They want to be part of our group.